Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. People, my friends, I'm just trying to make you a little money. My job's not just to entertain, but to educate. Hey, how about teaching? Call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me, Jim Cramer. Amazon takes heat for hurting small businesses. Alphabet gets blasted for taking both sides of advertising, the buyer and the seller. Apple just absolutely gets crushed because it makes such a good phone that it calls a lot of shots in the industry, maybe more than it should. Ostensibly, that's why the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission are going after these three companies. But in reality, let's face it, they're being sued because the White House thinks they're too big, too powerful. The government's approach to antitrust has cast a pall over this market. And last week, with the blasting of Apple by the Justice Department, well, it's starting to take its toll. Mega caps not bolstering this market, Dow losing 162 points, S&P declining 0.31%, NASDAQ dipping 0.27%. I want to go over these lawsuits, the FTC against Amazon and the Justice Department against Google, as well as Apple, because they're becoming overwhelming for you, the investor, for the investor class. They lurk daily and make it difficult to invest in three of the best companies on earth. Let's start with Amazon. The FTC claims that, and I quote, Amazon's ongoing pattern of illegal conduct blocks competition, allowing it to wield monopoly power to inflate prices, degrade quality, and stifle innovation for consumers and business. First, does anyone really believe that? There are an estimated 167 million Prime members in the U.S., roughly half the country. People love Amazon Prime because it cuts prices and raises quality and promotes innovation for consumers and the enterprise. If it didn't, it wouldn't have any members. Amazon's biggest rivals, Walmart and Target, are doing everything they can to catch up, and they often succeed. But Amazon keeps prices low, so it's hard to beat them. But you compete on price. And now the Justice Department says they're wielding monopoly power to inflate prices? What the heck are they smoking? Did cannabis finally get legal? It's not illegal to beat your competitors. In the end, the government doesn't like Amazon because it's a $1.9 trillion company. The FTC thinks it's too big. I wish they'd just admit that, though. But it's not against the law to have a high market cap. Google. The Justice Department sued Google for monopolizing digital advertising. They say, and I quote, through serial acquisitions and anti-competitive auction manipulation, Google subverted competition in internet advertising technologies, end quote. Look, Google does represent both sides of the trade when it comes to placing ads in some online spaces. But so what? They are facing increased competition from TikTok, which doesn't have anything to do with Google. But more important, and this is what is so obscene and absurd, they have an existential threat right now, Google, from generative AI, which many people think is just going to replace Google search altogether. I know if I have a specific question now, I go to ChatGPT, or even better, I go to Claude 3 by Anthropic, before I go to Google. This lawsuit against Google was out of date by the time it was filed because of these threats. It's kind of embarrassing, frankly. They're fighting the last war. Ouch! Besides, if you want to place an ad online, you don't have to use Google. You can use Trade Desk. They do an amazing job. If you take one look at Trade Desk's incredible earnings growth and revenue, well, more and more people are just doing that. Maybe Justice should have read some research reports. Justice should cover Trade Desk. Take it from hold to buy. Again, in actuality, Justice simply thinks Google is too powerful. So they want to make it less powerful. But competitors like TikTok and Trade Desk have already done that, and so has ChatGPT, and of course, so has Claude 3. Of course, competitors don't mete out punishment. They just hurt your earnings. Which brings me to Apple and the suit Justice filed last week, which includes a total hodgepodge of allegations that lacks any rigor at all, even though it's filed by a department that historically has had a lot of rigor. It's kind of unlike them. Now, we're told that Apple suppressed super apps, that they suppress cloud streaming, and the text from non-iPhone users are fuzzy, slow, and green, making it harder for Apple users to send videos to their mommies. I'm not kidding. A mother came up. Justice also accuses Apple of having 65% market share in American smartphones by revenue, even though it's less than 48% if you go by units, which, frankly, is really the only relevant metric. The summation here, quote, Apple's broad-based exclusionary conduct makes it harder for Americans to switch smartphones, undermines innovation for apps, products, and services, and imposes extraordinary costs on developers, businesses, and customers, end quote. Wow. Okay, they make a great phone, better than everyone else. Well, I'll be. Never knew that was a crime. They have 34 million registered developers working for them. Now, that doesn't seem like a suppressed group. And they have extraordinary costs. Do they have to lower their cuts so we all quit our jobs and learn to code? I mean, they impose a cost on consumers. Why don't you go buy a cheap LG phone then? Did the government forget that no one really pays $1,600 for an iPhone unless you're a total dope? The phone companies all subsidize your purchase. I have no idea how much I paid for my phone because it was so heavily subsidized. And then when I was finished with it, I got a huge amount of money back and about two-thirds of what I paid because the dealer sends the phone to a bunch of other countries. It's all good. I buy a new phone, again, from one of these phone companies. In fact, it's so good that it's one of the few real bargains left in life, especially when you remember that the iPhone is a product many of us can't live without. In other words, we love our Apple. We have the highest satisfaction of any company on earth. Highest. And that makes them dominant. What are they supposed to do, make a worse phone so they're less dominant? I think so. But let's have no doubt about it. Like Amazon, like Google, the government's going after Apple because they think it's too big and too powerful. Just own it, government. You know what this lawsuit's about? Pretty simple. It's about getting Apple. It's kind of like when Attorney General Robert Kennedy put together a Get Hoffa squad with 20 prosecutors in 1961. Jimmy Hoffa ran the Teamsters. Bobby Kennedy hated Hoffa. Now, there's one minor difference between Hoffa and the Teamsters and Tim Cook at Apple. Hoffa was guilty. Cook and Apple are innocent. That doesn't seem to matter, though, nor does it matter that everybody who has an iPhone loves it. How can you say Apple has hurt creators of products, given that it's almost impossible for a company to get noticed with its own website? So you fight to get into the App Store. If you're trying to sell something, you can either sell 100% of nothing or 70% of something after Apple takes its cut. And it doesn't, well, it doesn't always take that much, frankly. I was one of those product people. I started thestreet.com. We could never get enough subscribers if we just used our websites, and we went onto the App Store and we crushed it. 100% of nothing is not as good as 70% of something. It's a bargain not with the devil, but with an angel. Then again, maybe the lawyers in the Get Apple squad have never started a business. Look, we have to level with each other about this administration. Justice and the FTC simply seem to have it in for the mega caps, even as Amazon, Google, and Apple are among the most respected companies on Earth. Before these companies came along, America was king of carbonated soda, maybe movies. That's what we exported. That's what we made. Then the mega cap companies came along with Microsoft, which Justice, by the way, nailed in 2000, and Facebook, which has been Hector forever, and Netflix, which I guess gets away with it. No Get Netflix squad there, maybe because they're basically part of the old economy, just a big film and TV producer. Honestly, I wish the White House would just admit the truth. They want to make the biggest businesses less powerful. And then why not just try to pass a law, though, rather than trying to get the mega caps under existing laws that they really haven't broken. Bottom line, let's think about what happens if the FTC and Justice get their way. If they crush Amazon, do we have to go back to the store and at least pay a little bit more for Prime? If they annihilate Google, I guess we'll just take our queries to Claude 3, probably doing it anyway. And if they get Tim Cook, maybe for the first time, someone will want a Nokia smartphone. Now, wouldn't that be great for Finland? Kyle in Ohio, Kyle, please.
Oh, yeah, Jim. Very excited to see Saquon in an Eagles uniform.
I am, too. It's going to be incredible. And Howie Roseman is a genius. How can I help?
Love it. Hey, Tesla seems to be slipping behind the Mag 7. Do you think Elon's too caught up with memes and maybe like the Kramer coin to successfully run the business? Or do you think he can get things turned around?
He no like me. I think he can turn it around. I mean, I think the stock's been holding in here in the 170, 180 area. They got a new iteration coming. I think that's going to help. Let's not give up on Tesla down here. Let's go to Tony in Florida. Tony.
Hey, Jim, I want to give you and Lisa a big booyah. I was with you when you came down here and I bought a bottle of your Fastora.
Oh, thank you. The Fosforo. Lisa will be so happy that you called in. Thank you.
And she even was so polite and talked to us, and we took pictures with you, with my wife, and it means a lot that
that's the way I like to do it. It's better to be nice than to be mean. What can I say? How can I help?
Well, I live in Florida, and this stock is my electric company, and it's NextEra Energy, and has a 3% dividend.
I like it. It's a growth utility. I like Sempra, and I like NextEra. You got a good one. And thank you for the kind comments. I'll go call Lisa. She will absolutely love that. She is working so hard for that mezcal. Anyway. Look, at this point, I wish the White House would just admit that they want to make the biggest businesses less powerful. Break them up, punish them, I don't care. But if they do get their way, we have to think about what that means for the health of the consumer going forward and for the stock market, of course. We may have money tonight. At my 4 Out West, I've been thinking about which companies are poised to benefit from the relationship with the king of artificial intelligence, NVIDIA. I'll reveal the names and which ones I have on my eye on. Then Astera Labs went public last week and seen stocks soar 100% since its listing. So is this a viable AI name or just fluff in the buzzy space? I'm sharing where I come down. And you most likely have their products in your home, but should you have it in your portfolio? I'm sitting down with cabinet maker MasterBrand to learn a little more about the story and hear about its first full year as a standalone public company. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on X. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Mentions. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
After coming back from NVIDIA's big conference last week, I can tell you, that if you're in Silicon Valley, if you're anywhere in tech, anywhere in cybersecurity, in medtech, in finance, in retail, in auto, in workflow, you have to get right with Jensen. It's just a fact of life. I repeat, you have to get right with Jensen Huang. He's the co-founder and CEO of NVIDIA. He's changing the world. And if you don't change with him, well, you're going to be left behind. Right now, NVIDIA has had not one, but two different breakthroughs. Accelerated computing at a speed that's ridiculously fast, and generative artificial intelligence. Those are two different concepts. If you've watched our CNBC Leader special about Jensen, then you don't need to know any more about his life. I left nothing in the locker room. But I want to talk about who's getting it right with Jensen, because those are the businesses that will be successful and the stocks you want to own. So who's gotten right with Jensen? Let me give you the big ones. First among equals is Amazon. Here's a company that totally gets Jensen. They have a great relationship with NVIDIA using their high-powered chips to drive down prices for web services while increasing the speed and accuracy of inference. Inference is what drives product recommendation on the retail side. You know, you buy some socks and send you to some shoes. On the AI side, Amazon owns a big stake in Anthropic, the generative AI startup. And if you compare their Claude 3 platform to ChatGPT, you can see where all that extra computing power goes as it produces conversational smart prose answers to every query. ChatGPT, on the other hand, sounds like a robot, while Google's Gemini reads like a PowerPoint presentation. As for the core retail business, much of Amazon's success comes down to their ability to make almost perfect predictions about what you might want to buy. We are all creatures of habit, and the machines have learned our habits, especially Amazon's. If I could only recommend one stock as an NVIDIA pin action play, it's Amazon. They're getting right with Jensen more than anyone in the world. The second is Dell. I think Jensen regards Dell as a crucial partner when it comes to installing NVIDIA systems everywhere. You don't call Jensen or his team if you want to install the new Blackwell system and all its accoutrements. They're not in that business. Instead, you call Dell. And Dell sends in a team that works with NVIDIA's team to put it in. Michael Dell, unique among all executives, got a shout out during Jensen's fabled keynote. And he was in the front row to receive it. Talk about getting it right. I didn't know they were so close until Dell's most recent completely blowout quarter. I think the stock's got more room to run. After those two, there might be a pretty big drop-off in terms of who's getting right with Jensen. We know he truly values his relationship with Siemens, the great German industrial. He calls manufacturing the final frontier, the true industrial revolution that comes from his technology, something way beyond AI models that can talk to you. The construction of factories is a gigantic business, and Siemens works with NVIDIA to create what's known as digital twins, like a computer-based prototype beforehand, in order to cut down on waste and speed up construction time. Now, Siemens only trades here via rinky-dink ADR, so I'm not going to recommend it. But it seems to be the industrial that best shares NVIDIA's vision, although Jensen also did mention Rockwell Automation somewhat offhand. You might have wondered why I spent so much time with Medtronic, the medical device company. That's because they've chosen to partner with NVIDIA very aggressively. I talked to you about Medtronic's colonoscopy machine that's powered by NVIDIA's supercomputer. Much better at catching polyps than the traditional colonoscopy. What else? J&J came up many times with its operating room of the future, but if you buy that one, you're playing litigation roulette thanks to the asbestos lawsuits. Yes, GE Healthcare uses AI, and NVIDIA's a partner, but they're not a huge partner. The truth is, Jensen partners with everyone. Your task is to figure out which partnerships are more equal than others. Does the fact that CrowdStrike announced a cybersecurity partnership with NVIDIA mean that Palo Alto Networks doesn't do business with NVIDIA? Absolutely not. But bragging rights do matter, and CrowdStrike seems more right with Jensen than Palo Alto. That said, Palo Alto's being called in for some very big deals right now in the wake of the UnitedHealth hack, which was much worse than the people realized, and I feel much better about this charitable trust name than I did before going out to Silicon Valley. And on Wednesday, I'm going to tell people at our meeting, at our club meeting, that you should be buying Palo Alto. ServiceNow gets kudos for working with NVIDIA on workflow. They're the go-to partner for all sorts of office productivity tools and methods. Again, if you want to see what NVIDIA tech can do for your company's workflow, you call ServiceNow, not NVIDIA. I'm a big believer in CEO Bill McDermott. Who's next? You don't hear much about it, but Tesla's a real devotee of NVIDIA. Although Elon Musk wants to build his own supercomputer, he's on NVIDIA's system now. I know Musk would prefer to build everything AI-related by himself, but it's more efficient to buy directly from NVIDIA because NVIDIA is so far ahead. Musk has admitted it himself. He gave a quote to Jensen. For autos away from Tesla, Jensen's excited about his relationship with Ansys, a terrific outfit outside of Pittsburgh that reminds me a lot of Autodesk. Ansys is being acquired by its longtime software and design partner, Synopsys. When that deal closes next year, I think it's going to become the one to watch. Cadence Design Systems got multiple callouts as a partner for using NVIDIA to help their clients in pharma and biotech. Like Synopsys, Cadence has a long and multifaceted relationship with NVIDIA. Both stocks have been unbelievable performers. When it comes to the giant hyperscalers like the aforementioned Amazon, NVIDIA is Switzerland. They're neutral. You saw prominent quotes from Sundar Pichai, CEO of Alphabet, Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft. I'm not tech savvy enough to differentiate which one's better for the whole NVIDIA suite. Let's just say they're both fabulous partners. Oracle makes a strong statement for getting right with Jensen. Oracle's trying to build as many data centers with the latest and greatest from NVIDIA as they can. Same goes for Meta Platforms. I was hoping I could point to a robotics company that's worth buying, but I think it'll take Blackwell to ship in volume before we see major progress on the robot front. They're not ready yet. It'll happen, though. Last week, I sidled up to the bar of a robot, and he made me one of three drinks, but it was a bit of a parlor trick because there was a human there trying to help him. Definitely not there yet. Finally, there's a huge partnership that, well, let's say potential partnership that I've mentioned before. I think Apple's Vision Pro is the perfect vehicle for delivering NVIDIA's supercomputing power. The Vision Pro is treated as a consumer product, but with NVIDIA's Omniverse, I think there are a ton of great enterprise applications, the business to business. That darn thing practically sold me a car. But I have no idea if Apple wants to go down that path, and even if they did, they play everything close to the vest. I think you need to consider the possibility, though, because the upside potential would be so huge. Bottom line, before you buy anything in these industries, first ask yourself, have they gotten right with Jensen? Not everyone who embraces their tech will be a winner, but I think the ones who don't jump on the NVIDIA train will most likely turn out to be losers. Mad Money's back after the break.
Coming up, it's a new kid on the block. Cramer dives into an IPO that may be wired for profits. Next.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
We heard about the Reddit IPO, which instantly soared from $34 to $50 when it debuted at the highs last Thursday. And then it jumped another 30% today. It's closing at just under $60. Now, look, I'm not as interested in this one, given that Reddit's a 19-year-old company. It's both unprofitable and cash flow negative, but it has had a monster run. Ka-ching, ka-ching. But last week, another IPO was kind of intriguing. I'm talking about Astera Labs, which makes connectivity hardware for data centers, exactly what you need for the fastest cloud setup, or better yet, AI. And thanks to the AI connection, this one came in hot. Astera Labs priced its IPO at $36 per share, way above the initial proposed range. And then the stock opened at $52 and changed last Wednesday. If you got in on this deal, you instantly made a 46% gain. It didn't stop there. The stock gained ground every day, climbing another $15 to $85 today. That's a 21% move, for heaven's sake. The stock's now more than doubled, up 136% from its IPO price. Like the old days. This kind of rally is terrific for anyone involved. But I do hate to see it because it tells me that the stock's probably already overheated. We don't want an IPO market that's too hot because that means there's too much speculation. Speculation precedes a real big downturn every single time. Long story short, Astera is clearly positioning itself as a new way to play the AI theme. They even name-dropped NVIDIA in the prospectus, though it's unclear what their exact relationship is. Astera Labs says that it's one of the hardware companies that's going to benefit as we rebuild data centers all across the world for the more advanced computing needs to be in the AI era. That's true. To be fair, they're probably right. But even if you take Astera's claims at face value, I still take issue with the valuation because this thing exploded right out of the gate. It's going too high. When you dig deeper into the financials, it's hard to justify paying up too much for this one. The best thing I can say about Astera's numbers is that they've got good sales growth, up 45% last year. But man, when you look at that rough share count, this is now valued as a $13 billion company. That's well over 100 times last year's sales. By comparison, NVIDIA sells for 39 times last year's sales, and it had 126% revenue growth. So if anything, it should be more expensive. Plus, NVIDIA's immensely profitable, not Astera. But you can't value Astera Labs on earnings per share because it doesn't have any. Last year, they had a net loss of $26.3 million. When you strip out all the stock-based compensation expenses, that loss does shrink to $15.6 million. Still not great. Meanwhile, Stir is burning cash, negative operating cash flow last year. They burned through $12.7 million during that period. Don't get excited about that. Now, that's not to say that there's nothing to like here. While Stir had 45% revenue growth in 2023, those numbers got much better, the cadence toward the end of the year. 60% revenue growth in the third quarter, followed by 148% revenue growth in the fourth quarter. The quarter-to-quarter trends were extremely choppy, but clearly things are moving in a stronger direction. You have to applaud that. If Astera can keep putting up fabulous sales growth, their numbers will, their margins are going to keep heading in the right direction. In fact, when you look at the non-GAAP numbers, their operating income turned positive in the third quarter, while their net income turned positive in the fourth quarter. Keep that up and the company will be profitable this year. Interestingly, just this morning we saw the first sell-side analyst initiate coverage on Astera Labs. It was a fellow by the name of Gus Richard at Northland Capital Markets. Now, he can cover the stock during the quiet period because his firm had nothing to do with the IPO. And you know what? He is bullish as all get out. He started Astera with an $85 price target and outperformed rating, which is why the stock jumped more than 21% today, closing at exact 85. His reasoning. He says Astera has superior connectivity solutions that are ideal for AI infrastructure. He's predicting 133% revenue growth this year, expecting the company will earn 55 cents per share. Still, when you get to the section of the note on valuation, you can see that DeSantis is twisting himself into a pretzel to come up with a price target that's above where the stock's currently trading, at least before today. Forget this year's earnings or next year's or even the year after that. Northland Capital points to Astera's earnings power in 2028. They believe the company can earn $6.80 per share 5 calendar years down the road. And sure, if they really hit the numbers, it's not a stretch to justify the stock being at $85. But man, it's already trading at $85, and 2028 is a long way, don't you think? Even the analyst throws in a caveat that, and I quote, selecting a price target is more an art than a science, end quote, which I read as kind of a sign of embarrassment. Of course, if you value Astera like an NVIDIA or an AMD on next year's numbers, then this would be a $32 stock. My view, I think it's insane to rely on projections for 2028 earnings. That's just way too far out. Even if we accept that Astera has the best connectivity technology, we don't know how protected they are from competition. Who knows if somebody else will come up with something better a year or two down the road? In the end, you need to make some incredibly aggressive assumptions to justify Astera's valuation here. Even with these, why the heck would you buy an $85 stock with an $85 price target? That's no upside. Looking at what people are paying for Astera, all I can say is, how about something cheaper like NVIDIA, which is trading at 32 times next year's earnings estimates, even though it's the hottest stock on the planet? And NVIDIA always turns out to be cheaper than it looks as they beat the earnings estimates huge over time. When you consider what Astera Labs actually does, offering chips and software for connectivity solutions, which can be customized for customer-specific needs, then clearly the best comparison is Broadcom, charitable trust name that I will walk you through at Wednesday's club meeting at noon. This one's had a great run, up 112% over the past 12 months, but it still sells for just 23 times next year's earnings estimate, and it even pays you a modest dividend. Bottom line, while Astera Labs has a good story, and it is good, I think it'd be worth owning at some price. I think it's way too expensive at this price. Why pay through the nose for Astera when you can own Broadcom, something very similar, for much, much cheaper? In the end, I don't want you paying up for these smaller AI plays when the most direct beneficiaries are far less expensive. We're going to Phil in California. Phil.
Hey, Jim. Glad to be with you.
What's up?
I had about 20 years of listening to your show. A lot of good stuff coming out of that.
Thank you.
The stock I'm interested in is Oracle. It was about mid-100 at the end of 23. Now it's jumped up to about 130. I wonder if Larry's brought in AI into the situation.
The Oracle quarter was very good, and I always mention, you got to mention the bad with the good. I did not do well at Oracle for the club. I gave up too soon. It's had a really nice move. I think it can go higher. Let's go to Georgia and Maryland. Georgia.
Jim, MongoDB. I bought it at $4.55. Do I hold it, sell it?
Yeah, this one has really confounded people. It's confounded people because the growth did slow. I think we have to get, what can I say? I can't tell you to sell it here. It's just down so much from its high. But that was not the quarter I was looking for. I got to be honest, it just wasn't. Let's go to Tommy in my home state of New Jersey. Tommy.
Hi, Jim. This is Tommy. I've been looking at Salesforce, and I want to see, does it still have room to run?
I think Salesforce, so Salesforce is a stock where when they report the quarter, which will be at the end of May, I think it's going to be good. I think the stock can trade higher because it's not as expensive as some others in its cohort. But paying $306 without a break, let's wait till it comes down a little. I do have a nice position in the Chapel Trust. Let me advise further when we convene our Wednesday club meeting at noon. All right. I think the stock of Astera Labs has a good story, but it's just way too expensive. Its current price, that's okay. Why pay up when you can get a proven name like Broadcom for a lot cheaper? Hey, much more made money at it. I'm getting a handle on cabinet supplier MasterBrand. See whether this newly standalone company has a place in your home and your portfolio. Then today we saw two volatile names, Boeing and Disney, move higher. So could these moves be sustained? I'm giving my take on the latest out of these. You don't want to miss it. No, of course, all your calls rapid fire tonight. This is the lightning round. So stay with Cramer. Earlier this month, we spoke with Fortune Brands, which is doing very well right now thanks to the housing shortage. But a little over a year ago, they spun off their cabinets business as Master Brand. So how's that going? This is the largest manufacturer of residential cabinets in North America. You might know them as Mantra, Diamond, Omega, a lot of other brands too, if you're big on remodeling. Last month, they reported a better-than-expected quarter with a strong full-year forecast, and this stock gave you a nearly 97% return in 2023. It's now up 25% year-to-date already. So can it keep running? Let's check in with Dave Banyard. He is the president and CEO of Master Brand. You get better read on the situation. Mr. Banyard, welcome to Mad Money.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
All right. First, this is your first time, and you have a terrific story, so I'm going to give you the floor to tell people why they should be buying the stock of Master Brand.
Well, Jim, like you said, we're the largest in North America, but the reason that we're great is we cover the entire market. Our channel coverage, we have every channel that you can have in this market, plus we have the full product breadth. So you can buy everything from a very basic cabinet all the way up to a fully customized kitchen from us. And we do that with a great operational footprint and a great a business system that drives our business.
Now, I want to talk about that because one of the things that's amazing is your free cash flow has almost doubled. Even as your revenues have gone down.
Right.
Explain to people how it is possible to make so much money in a declining revenue environment.
Well, it really starts with the strategy that we've built. And there's three big pillars to our strategy: Align to Grow, Lead Through Lean, and Tech Enabled. And they do work together. Align to Grow is about getting everybody in the company, the organization, as well as our teams, aligned around what the customer needs. So you're delivering what they want.
Okay.
And then Lead Through Lean is all about doing that in the most efficient possible way. I know you're familiar with lean manufacturing.
Sure.
We love lean manufacturing. I learned how to do that at Danaher, and I brought it over here, and we've transformed this company in a way that we do things as efficiently as we can, and we empower our team to be able to do that.
Okay, it's very funny, because when we went over, you said, oh my God, it's Danaher Business Systems. He's doing Danaher, which we think is, by the way, we have a big position, Danaher, for my Chapel Trust, because Danaher Business Systems is about doing a thing. Well, go ahead and describe, because it's a remarkable way of doing business. It's not like anybody else.
And it's actually hard to do. I mean, the tools are all available to anybody on the internet. But really what it is, Jim, is it's the best associate engagement tool out there because you're empowering people to fix the work that they're doing. I'm not doing this. It's my team that's doing this. It's everybody on the plant floor. When they see something wrong, they have the tools to fix it.
Right.
And it's a really fun place to work when you do that.
Now, you've got to be on the lookout for acquisitions because you want to be in every nook and cranny. You can dominate this category.
Well, we were built by acquisition over the last 20, 25 years. We've done that. Last year, we really focused on using our cash to pay down debt. Obviously, when we spun, we had to pay a dividend to Fortune. It was around $950 million.
And the fourth quarter was hurt by that interest charge.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, we didn't have debt before we spun, so you had to factor that in. But, we set our goal last year to really pay down debt and get ourselves into what we feel is a comfortable leverage ratio.
Okay.
Now that we're there, and we spent a lot of time last year building this, we think we have a good acquisition pipeline and there's opportunities out there. We'll use our cash for that if the opportunity arises. Yeah, but there's still plenty of cabinet companies out there that we think are perhaps worth owning.
Okay, so I, as a potential shareholder, want to know what is the dealer channel, what is the retailer's home center, Home Depot,
right.
And what is the builder channel, and where would I find the different brands?
Yeah, so you really break the market into two big pieces.
Okay.
One is new construction, the other is repair and remodel. New construction, we go direct to the large builders, companies that I know you know well, Lennar, Pulte. And then to some of them, we service through distributors. So, and the weird part about cabinets is builders expect us to install the cabinets. So we do that in some cases when we're going to direct to a builder. In other cases, in other regions where we don't feel we have the efficiencies, we partner with the distributor, typically smaller, privately held companies that help us do that with the large builders.
Okay.
So that's one portion of the market.
Okay, so let's say I want to be in the custom premium, a Star Market, an UltraCraft, an Omega. As rates come down, would I expect more people to gravitate toward that end?
I think it all depends on, first of all, the house that you own. I mean, you don't really want to make your house more expensive than it should be. So there's a variety
of
different.
Why wouldn't I want that?
I think that there's a, you know, there's an element of, you know, making your house look appropriate for the size that it is, the configuration that it is, and so forth.
Okay.
And the more custom you get is really designed for probably larger homes, homes that have a lot of different spaces that are harder to work with, and you have to customize. You can get into a beautiful kitchen in the Aristocrat brand, as an example, without doing any customization. And so if you have a very standard-sized home, that's the better way to go. It's a more economical way for you to go.
Now, you have a lot of technology, and the technology has also enabled you to make a lot more money per cabinet, correct?
Right. The technology for us is different than what you heard from Nick at Fortune Brands, in that they're developing digital products.
Yeah.
For us, technology is information. And how do we make information flow more seamlessly across the company and to our customers and to our consumers? So we were built through acquisition, a lot of disparate systems. Our data is in a lot of locked places, hard to get. We have all that information. We haven't used it effectively over the years, and that's what we're really working on with our tech-enabled initiative. And it helps us go faster on a lot of the initiatives that we're working on.
Okay, so let's say I believe that over the course of the next 18 months, we're going to start getting some rate cuts.
Yeah.
It seems from everything I've read that you definitely expect business to get better, as it's something that you're levered to.
Well, the new construction market's been doing great despite the rates,
right?
Because the builders are helping by incentivizing buyers with that. But in the repair and remodel market, I think the key thing with rates there is stability. And you've seen that over the last 6 to 8 months.
Right.
Rates have held. And now people start thinking, well, I know rates are coming down in the future. They're more confident in being able to borrow that money. You know, when you see rates going up in the future or you see a lot of volatility, it's harder for the consumer to get their arms around borrowing money.
Well, I think people are getting a gem. I've always felt that because I've known this company for a very long time. This is a terrific story. Thank you for coming on. That's Dave Banyers, the president and CEO of MasterBrand. No, you haven't missed it. I know you think you may have because it's up a lot. But if rates come down, well, you just heard, it could be terrific for the remodeling business. Man, money's back in the break.
Coming up, Kramer takes your calls. And the sky's the limit. It's a fast-fire lightning round. Next.
It is time to start the light round, because that's where we're cool. So saving the stars, there's about myself, who is just near a cold scoff, said about myself, Brazil, you play this up. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Ski dad, time to the light round, because I want to start with Roy in California. Roy!
Hi, Jim. Appreciate your program and what you do. And
thank you.
I have a question about energy transfer partners.
ETP, I like it. ETP, I think it's a very good company. Now, here's the only problem is it has run, but the whole group is indeed moving, and it only yields 8%. Let's go. I mean, it was still got some yield to it. Let's go to Steve in New York. Steve.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question regarding this AI is taking such a nice run. I took some profits off the table and looked at the diversify a little bit. I'm looking at the financial sector, especially private equity company called KKR.
They're very good at what they do. I've known them for 40 years. They're just really good. Stocks had a big run now, and so is Blackstone, but they're very good. And that's I think they can make more money than they have. Victor in New Jersey. Victor!
Hey, booyah, Jim. How are you?
I am good, Victor. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Hey, Jim, I like your show and also love your interviews with Jason Wong last week. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. That was fun with Jensen. That was really great. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, my question is Becton Dickinson, symbol BDX.
The stock has been getting crushed. It's really inexpensive now. I think it's a buy. We had Tom Poland on. I think he told a pretty good story, but nobody likes it. It's been flat now for months. I think it's time to buy the stock. Let's go to Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff.
Hi, Jim. How are you? I'm calling from Boston, the home of the next NBA world champion, Boston Celtics.
Oh, I didn't know that they had already named them that. I thought there was like a series that those... Well, go ahead. What's up?
Well, anyway, I just had to say that. I'm sorry. IoT, Samsara.
Oh, my God. This is the hottest stock, and it's going to make money, too, and it's really good, and I do agree. They do... You know, this is a DevOps shop, okay? When you can develop a platform that develops hardware, software platforms. I mean, it's a hardware, software platform. People love these kinds of stocks. They can't live without them. Let's go to Alessandro in New York. Alessandro.
Hey, Mr. Kramer. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you.
City, a long-time listener. Thank you very much for many good recommendations.
Thank you.
I pulled out a position in tech. I was a little bit heavy. I brought some profits home.
Okay.
And I wanted to do some rotations, so I'm looking at Rio Tinto.
I think it's a great company to buy here. A mineral company, I think it's a terrific idea. I was looking at it myself as something to buy after Southern Copper's moved up so much. That's a really good idea. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew!
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good myself. Thanks for asking. I wanted to refer to a reference you made with the AI race. You compared it to refrigerators and how we should be looking for our quote-unquote Coca-Cola within the AI race. And
yes.
So I was wondering if Coherent Corporation out of PA, stock ticker COHR...
A lot of lasers, a lot of optics, a lot of good stuff. Going to make money this year. I think you're right. I would buy some here and then wait for it to come down. Let's go to Mark in Minnesota. Mark.
Jimmy, it's great to talk to you, man.
Oh, thank you. Same. Glad you're on the phone.
Like,
what's going on?
You, I adopted early on Tesla and on doggies from the Humane Society.
All right.
So I got a question about New Fortress Energy, NFE.
You know, this is Wes Eaton's. We have to have Wes back on. You know, the government decided they would have to put on pause any 2028 LNG. Boy, what just a dumb idea. And that may have put New Fortress in a different light. I think this company is a buy, and I think Wes Eaton's is absolutely terrific at what he does. I like that stock here. Let's go to Pete in Delaware. Pete.
Hey, Jim, how are you? Thanks for
I am good. How about you?
Great. Thank you so much. Hey, I wanted to get your opinion about something I think is a sort of a niche company representing the fourth largest economy in the world, California Resources Corp, CRC.
Yeah, I remember when that was spun off. Okay, so they're doing a lot of decarbonization. People regarding is that I would rather be in Constellation Energy. If I'm going to be in that, let's just go right to the source. Let's go to Constellation. How about Jerry in Nebraska? Jerry.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I read soon that Pure Storage is providing customers with a nice framework to manage high-performance data and computer requirements.
And you're right. And they're making money. And, again, this is another stock that has run so much. I have to say, I have to advise you to buy some and then wait for a pullback. It's just run so much. Many of these lightning round stocks have run so much that I'm a little gun-shy. That's why I say buy some in case it keeps going up, but don't buy all so you have some cash left. Let's go to Sharon in Minnesota. Sharon.
Hi, Jim. I'm a member, and I bought my first one-third of the ELF. And the problem, I guess it's a good problem, it's already doubled.
I know. ELF is amazing. Tamarang Amin is doing a great job. He's doing much better in the stocks that I like in the segment. I would hold on to that. Don't buy more and don't sell. And that, ladies and gentlemen, conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Charles Schwab. Coming up, when is change at the top a good thing? Boeing and the Mouse House taught the street a lesson today. Kramer breaks it all down. Next.
Change at the top can be good. A fight at the board level can be good, too. Those are the easy takeaways from high-level turbulence at Boeing and Disney. Today, both of these stocks rallied, and while management may dispute what caused these moves, I think the story is pretty straightforward. Boeing's cruised from 179 to 191 over the past week, as being clear that current management had to exit if it was ever going to put its manufacturing regulatory problems behind it. CEO Dave Calhoun would have to go. The chairman of the board would have to go. The head of commercial aviation would have to go. It didn't matter who the chairman of the board really was. There had to be a better person given everything that's going wrong here. It didn't matter who was building the planes. The head of the operations had to go. Boeing had to appease the customers, who were real angry because they spent billions on these planes only to be greeted with endless headlines about how they're constantly falling apart. They obviously had to appease the regulators, too. And now that these people are stepping down, everybody's appeased. You see, that's how it works in corporate America. The institution needs to be preserved, not the people. So Larry Kellner, the chairman of the board, had to be exchanged for Steve Malkoff, even as Kellner was the former CEO of Continental Airlines, and Malkoff formerly ran Qualcomm, which has nothing whatsoever to do with aircraft. Stan Deal, head of a commercial aircraft, well, he had to leave pronto because you need a fall guy. And to be fair, this division's a mess. Now Stephanie Pope, Boeing's chief operating officer, takes over. Internal, not great, but let's see what happens. Calhoun gets to stay until the end of the year because there needs to be a process. But he's gone as soon as the new CEO gets picked, no matter when. Then all the heat dies down and the regulators will move on, assuming Boeing can figure out how to safely build planes again. That's not an issue for the future. Oh, kind of, yes, it is. I don't know. It's hard to tell what's going to happen. Without change, the heat would never go away, though. The FAA would always find against them, and the angry customers would stop being customers. How about this? This stock has been a horror show for ages, and the board hadn't really been doing its job until Nelson Peltz, yes, the big-name activist investor, decided to launch a proxy fight. Suddenly, there was a sense of urgency and plan to take out costs. Now the stock's flying, almost a straight line from 88 to 119 since Peltz got involved. Amazing how much better the board can do when someone concentrates its mind and holds their feet to the fire. The changes are good. Disney's costs were too high. The company was initially going to take out $5.5 billion in costs, down $7.5 billion. Wow, a lot of costs, huh? The board didn't seem to have a lot of heat on themselves to find a new CEO, or they wouldn't have invited the old CEO back. The board's job is to have a succession plan. If they want to beat Peltz, they need to cut costs and come up with a solid succession plan for Bob Iger. They did the first. I figure they'll do the second because they hate the notion of Nelson Peltz joining the board. Anyone but Peltz. That's why the stock's going higher. Disney's board, especially its CEO, is desperate to stop him. And that means doing things that they wouldn't otherwise do, including some things that are really good for shareholders. If not for Peltz's involvement, I think this dog of a stock would be right back to the 80s. Now, notice, I'm not talking about anything involving the building of planes or the making of TV shows or movies or running theme parks. I'm talking process. And if you own the stock, be grateful the process is working and these institutions are being preserved. I like to say there's always a bull market summer, and I promise you I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.